This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that used to be Twitter. We have all kinds of things coming up for you today on New Year's Eve.
Yay.
2024. We'll talk a little bit about Wisconsin's winners and losers. Todd Alba, our friend and colleague, will be joining us at 10:33. We're going to keep talking about the two sides now in the MAGA movement. We have the tech bros and the MAGA MAGAs. That's what I'm calling them.
We need something that rhymes, but everything it comes up with sounds offensive.
Oh,
the tech bros and MAGA. Nope.
No, it doesn't offensive. Work. Well, think about it. Yeah. Let him mull around for a little bit. Todd will be joining us after 10:33, and we're also going to cover that boat is still stuck in Lake Michigan. Yeah. So we're going to kick that around a little bit. I have thoughts.
I do, too, and they're all disappointing thoughts.
Yeah. So we'll talk about that. That thing's been stuck there for, 78 days or something?
We need music. Day 78.
Next hour, we're going to do something we've never done before. This will be a first. We're doing This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Best Of.
Oh, boy.
So we looked over we started in October.
October, yeah.
Into October. So we went back and looked at our favorite episodes of This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Uh-huh.
And then we have one honorable mention.
Yes.
So that will be from 11 to 11:30 to try and keep things a little bit light on New Year's Eve.
What are we doing for New Year's Eve tomorrow?
We are doing a specially curated show.
That's right. Okay.
Because we will be off tomorrow. We'll be back on Thursday.
Correct. Great.
But
awesome.
We are taking a day tomorrow for New Year's Day. 11:33, if you have someone in your family, in your life, who's getting married.
Somebody's getting married.
A Wonderful World of Weddings is going on this weekend at State Fair Park in West Dallas at the Expo Center. And Nicole Blazer, who is Chief Executive Officer for Premier Bride, is going to be joining us to talk about all the things happening at the Wonderful World of Weddings. That's actually an event that I used to do many, many, many years ago when I worked for a different radio station. And I think I did the fashion show. And I mean, I introduced the fashion show, stuff like that.
How long? You've been married for how long now?
I've been married for 22 years.
I've been married for we're going into the 13th year. Isn't it great to go to a wedding and you sitting there in your pew or your chair and just in the middle of it, you just take the hand of your beloved and go, aren't you happy we don't have to do this? Because there's so much to do.
There's a lot involved. And I just wonder how much pressure there is for folks who think, I have to do this thing and I have to get this and I have to get that. And we need a $12,000 photographer and $8,000 worth of flowers. And you can do it cheaper than that.
I try to give that advice to newly engaged couples all the time. I tell them, one, don't tell them you're getting married. Just tell them you're in flowers for something, an event, something like that. Keep the flowers light, because the flowers in 20 years, no one's going to say, flowers are really nice.
Those table centerpieces, I've never seen anything like that before.
Make a wonderful ceremony. Make something you'll remember. There will be video. There will be pictures. But this notion that you have to spend between $30,000 to $50,000
on a
wedding. Or way more.
Way more.
It's just, it's insanio.
Yeah, I that's beyond me.
Me too.
It is. I mean, wedding cakes are ridiculously expensive. Wedding photography is ridiculously expensive. Mm-hmm. And the thing that, too, is everybody else has a camera.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, I feel like in this day and age, everybody knows someone who's a photographer as well. You know, like I can say on one hand, all five fingers, friends who are professional photographers.
Seriously.
Yeah. And they'll usually cut you a deal, or like my friend for our wedding That was our present.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Our friend made us a wedding cake as a present.
Very nice.
If you do some digging.
Yeah. Well, there's ways to cut down on some of the expense.
Yeah.
And as far as a wedding, I don't know, maybe everybody else is different than me, but we got really lucky with a wedding photographer and what we paid. But I still have a brown paper bag full of wedding pictures that I've never looked at. I haven't looked at them in 21 years.
You should bring them in.
Really?
Yeah.
There's a lot of them.
Oh.
But I just, do you go through your wedding album on a regular basis and go, look at this, honey, remember?
I don't have a wedding album.
Oh, you don't?
Mm-mm.
Well, then you're a bad husband.
Well, my wife doesn't have a wedding album either.
Jeez, that's not her fault.
Okay. What we do have is an album of, we had a photo booth.
Oh, that's great.
So we have a wedding album of our friends.
Of your guests.
Exactly.
That's an awesome idea.
See, I'm a good husband now.
Well, you have your moments. And we're going to wrap up the show, as we always do, with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Weekend at Bernie's edition. I had never seen, we missed this one somehow, and I feel badly that we missed it. Yeah. So we're gonna rectify that at the end of the show.
All right.
We did want to start off, though, with a great column from Daniel Bice in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel called The Winners and Losers from a Topsy-Turvy Year in Wisconsin Politics. Mr. Bice starts off with, there was no pandemic, there were no riots, there wasn't even a recall election. But 2024 was still a busy year politically in Wisconsin. So he breaks down some of the winners and losers in Wisconsin, as far as 2024 is concerned. Among the first winners, both Brian Schimming and Ben Wickler.
I don't want to give anything to Brian Schimming.
But you have to.
No, I don't.
Well, they flipped Wisconsin. They flipped it red.
But what did Ben Wickler do?
Well, Ben Wickler was pretty great, too.
One election Brian Schimming got. One election. One dude.
According to Daniel Bice in his column on the winners and losers of Wisconsin, Schimming and Wickler, chair of the state GOP and state Democratic Party, respectively, walk away from the 2024 general election, standing stronger than ever, but for different reasons. Wickler's organizing and fundraising prowess showed him he is deservedly the hottest name in Democratic politics. With Wickler's help, Dems flipped 14 legislative seats and removed the GOP supermajority in the state Senate. Now, of course, Ben Wickler is running to be the head of the Democratic National Committee. Schimming, meanwhile, can point to Wisconsin going red in the closest presidential contest in the nation, defending all of the state's Republican incumbents in the House and giving Tammy Baldwin the closest race of her career. Next up, of course, and we will be talking about this a lot in the weeks ahead, is the upcoming April election for the Wisconsin Supreme Court. So expect those ads to start, I don't know, probably February.
I was going to say probably, 20 minutes?
Yeah. Among the losers of 2024, according to Daniel Bice in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Tierman Spencer. Now, if you're not familiar with Mr. Spencer, Tierman Spencer began the year as the most controversial elected official in Milwaukee, accused of everything from sexual harassment to allowing his top deputy to do private work on the city's dime. Tierman Spencer got less than $5,500 from supporters for his reelection. $5,500. So he had to pull out $15,000 from his own pocket.
Jeez.
Yeah. State Representative Evan Goyke got nearly $100,000 from his backers. He smoked Tierman Spencer in that election 27 points. Now, unfortunately for Mr. Spencer, he's back, having been charged with one felony count of misconduct in office and a misdemeanor for obstructing an officer. He's pleading not guilty. Tierman Spencer, this has not worked out so well for him. It was so bad in the April election when he was running that he changed his campaign signs from Tierman Spencer to T. Spencer, hoping that people weren't going to make the connection.
Well, unfortunately, when you have one of the three most famous last names in modern Milwaukee politics, whether it's Spencer, Coggs,
Hines,
or Hines, it's really hard to, I mean, maybe you should have said that guy.
The guy who's holding the office now.
Exactly. The current, reelect the current one.
Yeah, we like him.
Yeah, but no, you can't run away from that on your lawn sign, and you can't run away from that last name.
No, you really can't. Also, among the winners, according to Daniel Bice, Tammy Baldwin.
Darn right.
Absolutely. Tammy Baldwin has now gone undefeated for 38 years. This is obviously running for different posts.
Yeah.
Everything from the Dane County Courthouse to the U.S. Capitol. She has won her Senate contests one after the other, knocking off Tommy Thompson and one of the richest California guy who's
what's
just, whoosh, he's gone.
What's his name again?
We've never, he lost and he.
To Tim Michaels?
And he left.
I forgot.
Well, he went back home. He's in California.
The reason why I don't want to give Brian Schimming any credit is because he didn't do what he said he was going to do, which was going to bring a different play to GOP politics in Wisconsin. He went back to all the old crap. He did fear-mongering. He did lying.
Yes.
He did all of the trash that Trump and his like did for the past 10 years. That's why I don't want to give Brian Schimming a win, is because he didn't try to make it bring, he didn't try to raise his party up. He sunk to their level.
Well, because that's what has been winning for them.
Well, that's why he doesn't get a win in my book.
All right, that's fair enough. Also, winners, according to Daniel Bice in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Cavalier Johnson, mayor of Milwaukee, and David Crowley, the executive of Milwaukee County.
You mean the best buddies? Our best buddies?
Best buddies. They got the legislature to sign off on a sales tax increase to help stave off budgetary free falls. And then they secured the highly successful RNC in Milwaukee. I mean, it was great for the RNC, for the local businesses that had been promised so many perks from the RNC that didn't really materialize.
What is Daniel Bice's definition of highly successful? Because we were just talking about this on Pat's show this morning with Dr. Lyerly. I mean, you and I went to lunch after one of those days when we were broadcasting from Milwaukee. The place was
dead.
Empty.
It was
at
dead.
Noon.
I mean, and right by the Fiserv.
Yeah. So this was, I'm sorry, but this, I would categorize this as a loser side, as a loss. It didn't gain Milwaukee.
Well, it didn't gain Milwaukee. I guess, again, for the RNC, it was a success.
And they
had Hulk Hogan
and Kid Rock.
And Kid Rock.
But they also had cops shooting and killing some, I don't want to say a Milwaukee legend, but someone who's well known in the community and brought a lot of bad press.
We're going to continue this winners and losers of 2024 when we return. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Sweet Cal B on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Good morning, Sherry, who texted in beautiful photos of her daughter's wedding at the Capitol, where it's free.
What?
Yes. And we're going to be talking about the wonderful world of weddings next hour at 11:33. It's going to be happening at the Expo Center in West Allis at State Fair Park this weekend. So really pretty picture, Sherry. Thank you for sharing. And also Dave from New Berlin. Okay, here's my New Year's resolution. I'm not going to text naughty things to Civic Media until the next time I text naughty things to Civic Media, I promise. Fair enough.
Wow, Dave.
Fair enough, Dave. You don't want to set yourself up for failure, Greg.
It's true.
If you're gonna make a resolution,
expectations.
Exactly. You got to temper your expectations. We've been going through this list from Daniel Bison, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, about Wisconsin's winners and losers from 2024. This one is one of my favorites, I think. Well-compensated loser, Willie Hines. Big time.
Yeah.
Willie Hines, the embattled chief of Milwaukee's public housing agency, was asked in September if he would retire within the next 6 months. Hines said, quote, "I do not. I have a lot of working years ahead of me. I'm a young man," unquote. 3 months later, Mr. Hines, a former Milwaukee alderman, announced it was time to retire.
Yeah.
The head of the housing authority for the city of Milwaukee.
And how much was he making?
He made a relatively good compensation. I believe it was $251,000 a year.
Yep.
On his way out, he now will get a monthly pension estimated at $11,251 for the rest of his life. He also gets a lump sum payment of $75,583 as part of this so-called global pension settlement. Again, Mr. Hines is not the one who set up the terms for this pension mess.
No.
But he certainly is making out.
I mean, it could be worse. If he would have retired 3 months later, he would have gotten even more.
Even more.
He would have gotten his full pension. He's not getting his full pension. But $11,251 a month.
If you scrimp.
You know, if you just save a little, you just.
You don't, you know, cut down going out to dinner and stuff like that. You'll be okay. Just a reminder, public housing residents and community organizers, including Kevin Solomon from Common Ground, we've talked to them numerous times. Yep. About this. They've been calling for Hines to resign for more than a year.
Oh, yeah. And they've been calling for Mayor Cavalier Johnson, listed as one of this year's winners, to really do something about the housing situation here in Milwaukee, because it's not, I mean, these are people who are going to bed with baseball bats and knives under their pillows to feel safe.
Picking bed bugs out of their ears and roaches.
Yeah.
And it's horrible.
So, but Willie Hines, well-compensated loser.
Enjoy the rest of your life. He's only 60 years old.
Yeah.
He'll have a real nice retirement. Another winner in the Daniel Bice column for the Wisconsin winners and losers of 2024, Governor Evers. For the governor, boring is good. It's his style. Evers is the most popular statewide elected official. Obviously, not everyone loves him, but the district redistricting maps got them 14 legislative seats, the Democrats, in a generally Republican year. He helped keep the Brewers in Wisconsin through 2050. He defeated a proposed constitutional amendment to strip control of federal money from the executive branch, because Robin Voss wanted the ability to control all that. He has had multiple court victories, and he still looks exactly the same. He doesn't look a day older. He really doesn't.
No.
He really hasn't aged that much. When you look at him, he's now 73 years old.
Yeah.
On the downside, Republicans point out that Evers failed to discover Wisconsin for Kamala Harris and still has to work with a GOP-controlled legislature. Yes, but not a supermajority. So there's that.
Yeah.
And finally, loser, and this is really unfortunate, Mike Gallagher. Mike Gallagher left office early.
Yep.
In order so he could work in the private sector. Don't forget, Mike Gallagher got all kinds of death threats, and his family got death threats. And he was one Republican, at least, who was very outspoken, at least initially, about the January 6th attack on the Capitol. He did a video message from his office.
Yeah.
As the rioters were attacking the Capitol, going, "You got to, Donald Trump, you got to call this off."
Yeah.
And even though I think he moderated that message as the months went on, the backlash was still there.
He was never mega enough.
He was never mega enough.
No.
You're right. Absolutely not. We will include this this column in the show notes. And if you ever want to check those out, just go to civicmedia.us, click on shows, click on Matt Nair on Air, and that will take you to all of our previous episodes, at least the last 100 episodes. if you want to check those out.
Yeah, it doesn't. We found out it does not give you all of the episodes, but you can definitely check out the last few months. And
it's the, I think it's the last one.
And there's some winners on here who I think are just flat out losers in real life. But that, I'm going to keep that opinion to myself.
Good idea.
But you know, it's a very good article.
It is. It's worth taking a look at. Also, a reminder, if you're going to be home or if you're traveling tonight for New Year's Eve, make sure you join Lou Regani.
Yeah.
He's host of Sunday's morning's Music of the Stars, but he's going to have a special New Year's Eve version tonight starting at 7 p.m. until 1 a.m. He's got music from the 30s and 40s and swing and big band and Sinatra. It's a great soundtrack. It's just going to be a great background soundtrack.
He is like a lot older than me, and he's going to be up as late, if not later, than me tonight, and I don't even understand that.
Because he loves it. He does it because he loves it.
Love that he loves it. You know what I love? My bed. It's amazing.
We have news coming up next, and when we return, we'll be back with our friend and colleague Todd Alba from the Todd Alba Program, noon to 2 p.m. here across Civic Media. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air, coming to you across the vast, statewide, countrywide. Yes, we're global on the app, Civic Media Radio Network. I don't mind leaving here to show the world we have no fear, cause we're winners. And everybody knows it too, but just keep on pushing like your leaders tell you to. At last that blessed day has come, and I don't care where you come from, we just gonna move on up. Move on up, Lord have mercy, we're moving on.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Cal Viente on the board. Coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. After the 11 o'clock news, we're going to do some of our favorite This Shouldn't Be a Things from 2024. We'll have an honorable mention, and then we will be talking about the wonderful World of Weddings, which is coming to the Expo Center at Wisconsin State Fair Park in West Allis this weekend. Right now, though, we are joined by our friend and colleague in a tuxedo, Todd Alba, coming to us from the Civic Media World headquarters in Madison. Good morning, my friend. You look very nice.
Good morning, Jane, Greg, Kelvin. Happy New Year. We are all set here in Madison. It's, of course, a big ball drop tonight on the square, which is very different than the Times Square ball drop, Madison being Madison. It's more of a burlap sack ball with twigs as a skeleton. And they have a couple of fireflies that are frozen in July, and they bring them out. They last for 20 seconds before they die, but it's all still very nice.
Hey, it's a ball drop. You know, you take what you get.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Reassure me that, do you really own your own tuxedo?
I actually do.
You do?
Yeah.
I guess that makes sense that Todd would.
Well, you were in politics. You worked in state government for a while.
I did, but I didn't buy it really for that. I bought it for 16 years. I was the master of ceremonies for the Betty Hayes School of Dance. And so it was a big production. And so I just got tired of renting. And then, yeah, occasionally I'd have something to wear it for politics, but rarely actually. But it's just, you know, you rent a tux for whatever, $70, and, you know.
It adds up, right?
Yeah. In three times, you're just paid for. So I actually bought this. You want to know when I bought this? I'll tell you. I bought this in 2000 for George W. Bush's inauguration, which I went to, and I bought it for half off at JCPenney.
That's such a Wisconsin thing to do.
And it still fits.
Barely,
but
no,
it fits.
No, you look great. That is the most Wisconsin thing I've ever heard. Hey, nice tux. Thank you. I got it on sale.
Yep.
I did.
That is perfect.
50% off.
just tell me that you're wearing like sweatpants because we can't see the bottom half of you.
Please tell me you're wearing pants.
I was going to say it's New Year's Eve, I'm pantsless.
Well, that can work too. Well, just so you know, Calvin is in his New Year's sweatshirt and Greg is in his New Year's t-shirt and I have my New Year's shirt on too and I have dangly earrings, so that's making up for the lack of tuxes. Anyway, thank you for joining us this morning, my friend. I know you have your show coming up at noon, but I heard you talking about this a little bit yesterday, and we also did a segment on this because it makes me laugh. It's the whole fight between MAGA and Tech Bro MAGA, and it just seems to be continuing, and I'm really enjoying this.
It is entertaining, if nothing else. And I found the most entertaining part of the whole thing is when Vivek Ramaswamy over the weekend started to call out 90s TV characters. And so why are we idolizing Zach and Screech from Saved by the Bell or Zach and Slater from Saved by the Bell and not Screech? Why is it Stefan over Steve Urkel in Family Matters? I'm like, is this what we've come to now, calling out 90s characters in the federal government?
He said that we need to stop with all the sleepovers and hanging out at the mall. I'm like, dude, you're 39 years old. You're younger than me, and I wouldn't say something like that.
Right.
It's okay. So here's the headline from the Independent. Steve Bannon says there's no MAGA civil war because Elon Musk is not tough enough. Now, this is after Elon Musk pretty much insulted everyone in MAGA over the last couple of days by calling them retarded and racists. And it was, and he's going to, you know, go F yourself in the face. And then after President Trump sided with them, with Elon and Vivek, and all of a sudden Elon's back on Twitter saying, let's have some nicer, more positive posts. I did a spit take when I read that.
Yeah, it seems disingenuous would seem an understatement. So I mean, yes, it's entertaining to a degree. I also think there is, if I have to be serious for a second, I think there's some, hey, you know what? A majority of Wisconsinites, the plurality of Americans voted for this. And now we're kind of in the find out part. And so this is what it is. I also think it's also important to in my opinion, I think a lot of this is still the shiny object and you know, over here, quietly coming into the back door are a lot of serious, scary policies that are going to affect everyday Americans.
Absolutely.
And whether it's, you know, remember Wisconsin being a Democratic governor is quote unquote a blue state in that sense, or at least a purple state. I think there are going to be people who rely on immigrant labor in this state who are going to be affected by that, particularly our ag communities. I think there are some tax policies or the tariff. All these things are actually going to affect our lives. And so I think it's important to remember that that's also going on while all this catfighting is going on over the other side.
Well, but I think this infighting might make it more difficult for them to actually implement some of these policies. Because if they can't get on, if they're gonna continue fighting about these H-1B visas, and I mean, Steve Bannon now, excuse me, is saying that people who didn't get an H-1B visa to work in tech should get reparations because because their opportunity was taken away from them.
Here's what I'll say. I mean, as someone who worked in or for a congressman for 5 years and handled immigration, H-1B visas are critical to American business, and there are times and places for that. There are also, it's critical to have legal visas for all folks that want to come in here and have a process. I've said this once, I'll say it 1,000 times. Both Republicans and, quite frankly, Democrats have refused to expend the political capital to actually find a solution. I don't care whether it's the first 2 years of Donald Trump or the first 2 years of Joe Biden. Both of them controlled everything for their first 2 years, and they failed to offer substantive bills on a bipartisan basis that would actually pass and be signed into law that could have reformed the immigration system. So until we see that, there's a lot of snipings, quite frankly, I'm sorry, from both sides.
Well, yes, and this is, we've talked about this many times. This is an issue that continually gets kicked, the can keeps getting kicked down the road because it is good for political purposes. It is good to use as a sledgehammer against the other party. When you're right, they're both equally responsible for doing nothing about it.
I think the side that I would point the Republicans being more at fault on, and I'm not talking about voters, I'm talking about leadership of the Republican MAGA party and Trump and the people that you named, is the, we did a Rod, is it Rod or Ron Sterling that was
Rod Sterling.
Was born 100 years ago Christmas last week and wrote for The Twilight Zone. And they had this, we talked about this episode where these aliens came to Earth and they never fired one quote unquote weapon or bomb. It was putting thoughts into people's minds of hatred and insinuation and suspect, and that people would be divided. This community got divided and went to war with themselves without the aliens ever firing a shot. And I think that that is what the Republicans and MAGA leadership have put into people's minds that are and dividing us apart. And that's why I think, Jane, you know, here we are on New Year's Eve. As I look back, one of the coolest parts of my entire year was the week that I got to spend with you on the road and also Trigvy. And because you and I sat there on Balsam Lake and Amory and Richland Center and all the places we went, And we didn't ask when people came out to see us, well, who'd you vote for?
No.
And we found all these cool people. And I think it's so important for all of us to remember our friends and neighbors are there largely to support us. And because let's be honest, the things that we all talk about every day, the vast majority of Wisconsinites aren't paying attention to. Yep. They're getting up, they're going to work, they're trying to make a living, and they're volunteering at the food pantry and the local thrift store, and they're going to their kids' baseball or t-ball or soccer games. And until we as Wisconsinites start relying on each other and not all the crap that's happening in Washington, D.C., that's what makes me positive for 2025, the things that you and I saw, Jane.
Yeah, I think you make a really good point, Todd. And even before we went on the road, we had talked about that we have so many more things in common that we do that separate us. And in the talking about that that Twilight Zone episode, the whole point is to get the two sides doing the fighting so the aliens can do what they want. So we're focusing on each other while the aliens are doing the alien things and no one is paying attention. But I think the bigger problem, and we're going to talk about this probably next week sometime, is where people are getting their information from.
Yes.
And that is one of the biggest problems, I think, because there are many and growing news deserts now in all parts of the country. But certainly in rural areas, there has been one messaging machine for decades, for 25, 30 years. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of the reasoning behind bringing civic media here, was to bring the other side to some of these areas in rural Wisconsin where they're only hearing one message.
I agree. Folks, pardon us while we have an internal staff meeting on the air for a second. But I mean, I want to ask you guys, what was your takeaway after the election in terms of what you just said, Jane? Because for me, I came away, even though, you know, 20 years in radio and a lifelong observer of media, I was surprised at this, I don't want to say segregation, but the siloing of where people get their information, and that legacy media, broadcast TV, radio, newspapers are even more on life support than I actually thought. And to your point, Jane, people are just going where they want to go, and that's all they listen to. Not everybody, but a lot of people.
But I also think that there's a segment who don't want to hear anything. I am proud of the fact that I am ignorant of all of these things, and I should be rewarded for the fact that I am ignorant of these things. And I've met some of these folks. And the day after the election, when we were broadcasting from Madison, and we had a text come through or a comment on the live stream, and it went by so quickly, but the texter essentially called me elitist and condescending because we had guests on to explain how tariffs work. And that's the reason I helped Trump get elected, because I was elitist and condescending in trying to teach people things. I don't know how to I don't know what to do with that, Todd. I don't even know how. I don't know what to do.
Well, we talked about that this morning. We had Dr. Lyle's son on, Abe, who's 25. And I asked him, as a 25-year-old, what did this election feel like for you as someone who is a young person? And, you know, he said that one of the things he was encountering because he was helping his mom run for Congress was the fact that he had friends who simply were like, yeah, I'm going to be as informed as I want to be. And that's not a lot if I don't want it. And I'll just kind of take information as I see fit. There wasn't this movement, I thought, that the young people had to become media and politically literate because they have lives too, as we've talked about. They don't live in the same world we do. They have school and responsibilities and things like that. So they take as much as they can and really what they want or what they want to hear.
But that's where they lose me, because as a younger person, you should be more invested in this than anybody, because it's your future that's going to be affected. I'm going to be 65 years old. I'll be dead soon. This isn't going to be.
Don't say that this week, especially.
No. But you know what I'm saying? It's like if you're in your 20s, this is going to have an impact on you for decades to come. And therefore, you should get a little more invested, at least inform yourself.
I agree, Jane. But I also, and I just take this as, I have some friends in their 30s who are smart people. They're graduates at UW Madison. And they're like, we get depressed and we don't feel like it's ever going to change. And there's nothing really we can do about it. And we'd rather just not hear it.
I mean, I understand why they don't.
I understand it too.
It's
to a point.
It's our generations telling younger people, you need to care. Well, younger people are saying, you know what I care about? The things I can't get,
getting a house,
and all these things, getting out of student loan debt. That's what's important to them. Those are things that don't touch me personally. So I don't feel like I have the right to say, you need to care more.
Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on air, along with our friend and colleague, a tuxedoed Todd Alba.
I have pants on.
There's a segment that's very disappointed by that. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
And welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, the Galvanator on the board, coming to you from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call, you can text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream, on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Putz de Leon continues to actively ruin. I highly encourage you to watch the live stream, because on days like today, when our friend and colleague Todd Alba is here dressed in a tux for New Year's Eve, we got some good dance moves going on. We have a dance party. It's worth checking out.
All right,
it's better than Dick Clark's rocking New Year's Eve.
Absolutely. Well, maybe not exactly, but we're so close. Hey, if you are, and I know, Todd, you're a big Wisconsin sports fan. We have women's basketball tonight, Wisconsin at Minnesota. It starts this afternoon, 3:10 broadcast. If you want to listen to that, though, you got to listen on WLAK in Amory, on WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids, and also WRCE in Richland Center. Wisconsin women's basketball at Minnesota this afternoon. The broadcast starts at 3 p.m. We're going to switch gears a little bit with you, Todd, and talk about this article in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel from Jessica Van Egeren. The headline reads, "Still stranded, 78 days and counting for boat in Lake Michigan." Are you familiar with this story, Todd?
I am. I heard you plug it. I was driving in. I'm like, oh, geez, I didn't read this. What do we got?
There has been a Chris Craft Roamer boat named Deep Thought that was abandoned on the Lake Michigan shoreline by Bradford Beach since October 13th. And it's
October 13th.
It's been 78 days that this boat has been stranded near Bradford Beach. It's almost right up against the beach. And we have questions.
I have a lot of questions.
First of all, boats have to be registered, don't they?
Yes.
Yeah, you have to have a license. They have to be registered. You have to have all the things.
So the owners of this boat, I assume, are traceable.
You would think, unless it was an illegal boat. Well, I'm sorry. How long is the boat? How big is the boat? What is the craft size?
It's not huge. You can take a there's a picture of it in the article. It looks like a pleasure. You know, it's a pleasure boat. It's not a.
Sure it is.
Todd, knock it off.
It's not a rowboat. A little bit bigger than that, but
it's only like 12 foot.
I would say it's 15, 20
maybe
feet long.
Maybe 15, 20 feet.
Yeah, it's
worth, a nice boat.
It's worth some money. I mean, the thing is, like, I have a lot of questions.
So it's on an island just off the shore.
No, it is beached almost right next to Bradford Beach. And now it's been there for so many days. A crew on Monday from Jerry's Dock Marina, the owners, Jerry and Sandy Geyer, of Jerry's Dock Marina sent them there because they've been following this story too. And originally one of the guys who works for them was in the boat's engine compartment just pumping out water. He says there's everything in there, muck and sand, and it's stinky business. The propeller is buried 2 to 3 feet deep. And because of the length that has been there, the side of the boat closest to shore has also settled in the sand, essentially creating a sandbar. So when you pull it out, it kind of beaches itself right back up. So it's not just like you can throw a rope and get six guys and you can pull it off this thing.
Well, there has to be some sort of law in Wisconsin where if you abandon something, it becomes public property. And if that's the case, I think that in that case, you should claim it and renew it and call it the Matt Nair on Air vessel.
Matt Nair on the show. Matt Nair on waves.
You should do the show from the boat next year.
Because I would think the city would claim it.
Well, yeah, I would think that would be claimed by the city by the county or by the state, and then it would be put up for auction to try to recoup all the expenses of getting it off of the island. Here's one of the saddest things about it is I'll put the article in the show notes, but Todd, I put the article in our chat for that, so you can see the boat. They're shooting the shot of the boat, and then they bring the camera around, and it's like three dozen people just staring at a boat.
Well, it's like, look at that boat. It's been there for a really long time.
That doesn't require sitting or taking a picture. I mean, we have things to do. There are things to do in this world. It's not like, honey, put on your Sunday. Put on your tuxedo, Todd. We're going to the shoreline.
To look at the boat.
Sure, why not?
We'll make it a thing.
It seems odd. It seems to me that, as Joe Biden would say, I'm not joking around here. Maybe there was some nefarious activity going on, and the people that had it were get away quick, and I don't want any. You know, they could have been running something.
They were running margarine up from Illinois, and they just had the Coast Guard was approaching, and they just had to beach it and run.
The name of the boat: Large Margarine.
Large Marge.
I don't know. I got nothing.
It's just very weird to me, like that one, the boat's still there, that they can't find any, in 78 days, they can't find one mechanism that can extract this boat from the water.
Well, now they're talking about having to blast the sand out from underneath it, because again, as soon as they get it a little further away, the waves come and push it back up against the sandbar that it made.
I say just if it lasts through the winter, make it the place where you shoot fireworks off of, and then you just the whole thing.
City of Milwaukee, Greg Bach has ideas.
I have lots of ideas.
I guess you're right.
Also, does anyone get the reference of the name of the boat? Deep Thought?
Deep Thought.
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Oh. No, yeah, those.
I would have thought that someone who had that kind of knowledge of dorky books would know how to drive a boat.
Well, those owners are now obviously in a different galaxy somewhere. Todd Alba from the Todd Alba Program. Catch him today.
Happy New Year,
especially
everybody.
If he keeps drinking from noon to 2 p.m. Happy New Year, my friend. News is
Happy New Year.
Coming up next. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Rock the bus, rock on with your dancing. Rock the bus, rock on with your dancing.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.